When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Goodison Park.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Royal Blue Podcast. I'm Phil Kirkbride, and today joined by Dave Prentice, Sam Carroll and Gav Buckland to chew the fat over all the major talking points at Goodison Park. And as always, plenty to get our teeth stuck into. There is a game to look back on, an excellent victory at Leeds, and I'm sure Gavin and Preno in their wisdom will remind us of it's a rarity, a victory at Elland Road. And of course, a game to preview another big game. They're come thick and fast, aren't they? A trip to Old Trafford on Saturday night. Everton going to Manchester United. But we'll start at Elland Road. Carlo Ancelotti, Preno, said it was the best result of the season.
Yeah, to me, it's just indicative of what a really strange season it's been, that we can, you know, follow up such a wretched performance against Newcastle with such a good result and performance for large parts of the game against Leeds. First off, with excellence, it really was good stuff to watch. So good football, really intense, which it has to be and which it should be as a matter of course. But the one issue we seem to have with this Everton team at the moment is they're capable of producing really good performances against almost anybody, but not capable of maintaining it consistently. But we got it, you know, so on Wednesday night, great first half performance, but second half proved what they can do, you know, when they put them out in terms of defensive application, had to defend really well and did so. And I know Ben Godfrey got all applauded and rightly so, but I thought it was a really good team defensive performance. And I was quite, no doubt we'll come on to it later, but quite interested with what Carlo Ancelotti had to say afterwards about Gylfi Sigurdsson in terms of his defensive, you know, sort of performance, given that he was playing number 10. It was a great performance. And as you hinted at earlier, a rare, you know, opportunity to come away from Elland Road smiling. We've had too few of those down the years, and everybody in the media seems to be quite keen to remind us that it was a rarity. I mean, no, it's been 14 years or so since we've last been there. So yeah, of course it's rare. But I take, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't happen very often. For some reason, Elland Road's been one of those stadia that we've always seemed to struggle at, but we didn't. You know, we got a great result. Best of the season? Possibly. I don't know about that. There's been a number of other highlights this season. But yeah, maybe in terms of like what it followed, possibly it was. We had to like get back in the saddle very, very quickly. And we did really, really well. So yeah, great results. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And it's all down to Sam's nan, isn't it?
Big prediction.
Sam, I'll come back to you in a sec. Gav, did we play that well last time we won at Elland Road?
Not as well. That was Dwayne Rooney, wasn't it? 2002. Yeah. That was a tight, typical Moyes, early Moyes away performance, wasn't it? Keep it tight and strike late on. Leeds was struggling. And you're playing a poor Leeds team. They escaped with relegation last couple of games of the season. So you're playing a far better Leeds team, better coach Leeds team. So yeah, it's probably our best result ever at Elland Road, to be fair. Yeah. Because you're on, Gav, give us your five wins there, it's not hard.
Give us your stats, which really impressed me that night.
Well, yeah. Just after half time, it was like 37 minutes we held the lead at Elland Road. It's the longest time we've ever held it at Elland Road.
Staggering.
And the worst thing about it, Leeds scored straight away. You know, and I thought, oh no, I put the mockers on us here, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say, I thought it was a fantastic game.
Yeah.
I thought it was a brilliant match. I mean, that's one of the best Everton games I've seen in the Premier League for a long, long time. In terms of where the two teams are matched up, in terms of individuals that are matched up, you could tell why Bielsa's held in such high regard, because he tested in different ways for the coaches that you've probably not seen before as a team. Carlotti used all the experience. It was high energy for 90 minutes. Nobody played poorly on either team. I just thought it was a brilliant game. And also as well, unusually, there wasn't that many chances in the great scheme of things, was it, for a free-flowing game? The number of chances were quite rare. Seeing, I know Wilson had a flurry of saves in the second half. I just thought it was a, you know, as good a game as what you'll see in the Premier League, and in that context to win, I think Leicester away is probably our best of the season. To be fair, I thought we were superb that night. But in terms of game of the season, it reminded me, going back, Moyes' last season, we drew 0-0 at Arsenal in April. And it was a very similar game, and it was 0-0, and there was about three chances in the entire game, and it got one of the Guardian's six best games of the season. Just the way the two teams cancelled each other out, you know, the way individuals played really well and you know, sort of tackled each other's sense of weaknesses and tested each other during the game, and that was similar on Wednesday. Great result, great game, and very good commentary, by the way, for watching at home. I thought made the change. Really good commentary. Excellent.
Sam, you ever made a 15-second quadruple save quite like Robin Olsen did?
No, to be honest, it's weird because we're... Me and Adam, obviously living together, we've got... I don't even know what, watching like Now TV or something, and we're not even like 30 seconds behind. We're like in the first half while everyone else is in the second half. So we were kind of seeing all the... But it is quite good because you're there, Phil, you'll tweet like goal and you can kind of get yourself prepared, you know, for what's great. It's great when Everton scored anyway. But, you know, everyone's tweeting like, oh my God, Olsen, unbelievable and all stuff like that. And you're waiting for it. But still, even then, when you've seen it with your own eyes, it was brilliant, weren't it? And to be honest, I think me and Preno have both kind of stuck up for Jordan Pickford over certainly the last 12 or 18 months, haven't we? But I probably now I'm just in the thing of, he's just a simple goalkeeper, really, isn't he? He just does his jobs. He kind of doesn't look like he makes any of his defenders nervous. And then he can come up with the sublime like that. You know, he's a big fella. He got down so well for the first one. Then the reactions to get back up and clear it away. And then the bravery of the third one. It had absolutely everything, those first three saves. And then there was another one right after it. So I think right now, I think Carlo, judging from what he says at his press conference today, is just going to keep rotating until the end of the season, and I don't think we'll ever maybe find out who is number one, number two, if it'll be quite as strict as that. But for me right now, I'd probably start considering Olsen as above Pickford in the pecking order, and if there's a big game, I'd probably turn to Olsen at the moment, and maybe a little bit unlucky, there was nothing Pickford could have done against Newcastle about the goals, but, you know, it hasn't been a great 12 months for him, and Olsen just seems to have that kind of assuredness that we've been looking for a while.
So just staying with you, Sam, because Carlo has confirmed that Jordan's injured and will miss the game again, but if Pickford had been fit, you would have gone with Olsen at Old Trafford tomorrow?
I think so, yeah. I think that obviously Olsen Olsen said it himself, hasn't he? He was told that he would get game time by coming to Everton. You know, it was quite surprising when we signed a goalkeeper because we already had, you know, Jonas Lossell as backup and Joe Virginia was knocking about as well, but you know, he's came in every game he's played in, he's looked good. I think I've seen a couple of weird shouts about, you know, the saves came from his own mistake, which I thought was quite harsh. You know what I mean? I think you're still going to make the save after it. You know, what was he going to do? Just let it in, kind of thing. And and I've seen also a few people maybe kind of questioning his distribution, but I think what Everton need at the moment, you know, we've got ball playing defenders now, as Ben Godfrey's shown. You know, you don't need your goalkeeper to be Edison or Alisson. You know, not every team needs that, as long as you've got the outfield players to do it. So, yeah, I would have kept Olsen in it anyway. And I don't know, I think we've spoke about it on the podcast before. I'm not a massive believer in rotating goalkeepers, and I'm not kind of sure how we'll ever be able to measure if it does good or bad for people, really, in the long run. But it will be interesting. I think when Pickford comes back, if we're still in the same form that we're in now, you know, and there's genuine big games, you know, we need to beat, you know, say Liverpool at Anfield, that's coming up, isn't it? It will be a big kind of decision for Ancelotti of who he goes for in those matches.
So just in summary, Sam, a former goalkeeper, not in favour of rotating goalkeepers.
You were ruthless with me. I don't know why they're changing now.
Preno, Carlo said something when he was asked about Olsen, the difference between Olsen and Pickford the other week. He said Jordan maybe has more individual qualities. Well, Jordan would have been more than happy to have made those saves that Olsen made, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's what you want from your goalkeeper at this moment in time. I mean, I totally take what Carlo Ancelotti says on board there. For me, Jordan Pickford is capable of the more spectacular, you know, incredible saves that will, you know, stop an absolutely, you know, near certain goal. But he's much more capable also of making a clanger which costs you a goal, whereas Robin Olsen, maybe not quite as likely to make those, you know, absolutely blinding saves, but his general demeanour is more reliable, less spectacular, more reliable. His distribution isn't as good as Pickford's, few goalkeepers are. And yeah, you can understand that why people are saying, well, okay, that, you know, there was that triple save, if you like, came from, you know, sort of a rare, you know, dodgy kick out. But he's just, he exudes reliability and assurance at the moment. And to me, given where we are on the table, that's probably more valuable at the moment than having the potential to make an absolutely incredible blinding save. You don't want to throw silly points away rather than possibly, you know, sort of turn, you know, sort of no points into 1 point or 1 point into 3 points by the occasional blinding save. And Pickford this season has made more mistakes than he has made blinding saves, I would think. He's cost us more points than he saved, let's put it that way. So, you know, I would understand why Olsen would be preferred by, you know, Sam for a game, you know, this weekend. And certainly Anfield, you know, given the focus on Jordan Pickford that will be in that game. Obviously, there'll be no crowd in there, which is a major positive. But, you know, certainly there'll still be scrutiny of him as a result of what happened in the first game. And so, you know, Olsen's probably, you know, so I said Carlo Ancelotti a difficult decision, because to me, he would be an obvious choice for that one. So, you know, despite having defended Jordan Pickford for large portions of the season, I'm probably agreeing with Sam here. And that I think that, you know, Olsen, where we are on the table at the moment, probably is the more reliable option, because you don't want any drama. I mean, funnily enough, when Leeds scored their goal, my initial thought was, could he have gone down a bit quicker to that? And I just think if Jordan Pickford had been in goal, that would have been the case, because he's conceded other goals this season that have definitely been his fault. People look at items like that and think, well, hang on, could he have gone down a bit quicker for that? Because Olsen hasn't, you know, made any blunders, he doesn't get that kind of scrutiny attached to him. So it's tough. It's a difficult balancing act. And, you know, clearly Carlo hasn't, you know, given up on Jordan Pickford at all. I think he's just taken him out of the limelight every now and then. And, you know, he's got a rib injury at the moment, so that's why he's not playing. But I just think at the moment where we are on the table, I think probably that little bit of calm reassurance is a bit more valuable to us than the blinding excellence that Jordan Pickford can occasionally produce. Mm.
Gav, you know, as I said, it's a pointless discussion because Pickford is injured, but I think as people would still be interested to know what you would have done, because ultimately, you know, if Olsen has a good game again on Saturday, there's a decision when you've got two fit goalkeepers, maybe for Spurs in the cup. You know, where would you go with that? If that had been the case this weekend and Jordan was fit,
yeah,
who would you have picked?
Well, I said all along, I'm not a fan of rotating keepers at the start. Who's your best keeper? Best keeper at the moment, Olsen, isn't it? Yeah. You've seen him so far this season. You know, if you watched Everton the last... If you landed from Planet Zog on last Friday, lots of people land from Planet Zog, obviously.
I think you have to quarantine in a hotel for 10
yeah,
days.
Probably, yeah. You know, what's the Newcastle game? And what's the game last night? And said he was the better keeper.
Yeah.
Who would you say? It would be quite obvious, wouldn't it? If you watch the two keepers, Olsen's played, there's a three Premier League games for us this season, something like that. And watch three of Jordan's games in that time, who's the better keeper? You'd be saying Olsen, wouldn't you, really? I mean, to me, there's a gap. I get that the Pickford, his ceiling of potential and performance is probably a little bit higher in single matches. As he showed in 2017-18 on occasions, but he had to be busy. But in terms of having, you know, Preno said a calming influence, he just wonder whether defence would rather have also behind the Pickford. I know what I'd rather have as a central defender. Mm. You want calmness, don't you? I'm not saying Olsen's perfect and we've got, you know, the next level south all there, but in terms of where we are as a club at the moment, what we want to try and achieve. I think a bit of stability at the back, full stop is required, and I think that extends to the keeper. I really don't get Carlo. I can see why he's saying it. What he's saying is what he's thinking is probably two completely different things here. he's probably trying to keep Jordan in the game, in the conversation, by not saying, oh, Walsh's my number one from now on, Jordan. You know, because given Jordan's temperament, and as we well know, maybe not the best, that would be a difficult conversation, wouldn't it? I suspect some of that comes into it. Carlo's thinking this is good man management. But you've got to go with Olsen, haven't you? I think for the time being, full stop, regardless of Jordan coming back. I mean, just be thankful that if we went to Anfield and in a better world, there'd be in a full house. That's the take up at Anfield. You wouldn't be even allowed that opportunity, would you? You know. But no, Olsen all day for me, Phil.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Sam, Carlo after the game, obviously really impressive 2-1 win. After the game, repeating this assertion that he's been surprised by Godfrey. In fact, I think he ramped it up to say he's been really, really surprised. Have you been surprised by Godfrey?
Yeah, in the sense that it's one of those transfers, wasn't it? That it was done on deadline day in the summer. Was it like
October? Yeah.
November or something? And a player who's just been relegated, and you know, Everton have got into that weird funk, hadn't they? Where you know, everyone we signed, I just started assuming was terrible. You know, we had those years of Bolasie and Klassen, and it was just like it was a risk, wasn't it? A young man, a young defender as well. You know, it's tough at that age to swap teams. A really kind of tough year mentally to basically play centre half in a team that gets beat pretty much every week. I think Norwich, on the sly, were one of the poorest Premier League teams in a long time. But he's just unbelievable. He's got it all, hasn't he? And I think it's weird the way it's played out that I think when he played in the back three at Fulham, didn't he? And I think a few people were kind of lukewarm to him. You know, he did okay. I don't think anyone particularly played that well in that game. And it was moving to left back that's given him that kind of lease of life originally, but the way he played at centre back the other night was just sensational, and everyone's loving him at the moment. I don't think there's anyone out there now who isn't sure about him, and I think he's absolutely nailed on to be a future England regular. And the way he's playing at the moment, I think the only thing that will hold him back is that Ancelotti will rotate between now and the end of the season, because I think Gareth Southgate could do worse than putting someone like him in his Euro squad, because he can do it all. And you know, there was that clip of him, wasn't there, running the ball out from the back, which was just like, it was like watching like when like your dad joined in when you're a kid, wasn't it? And he just like started like steaming past you, and then the ball kind of like got caught up in his feet, and you're like, oh, he's lost it. And then he just pulled out a crazy messy turn and carried on. So he's just got a bit of everything at the moment, and I think the great thing about him is that, you know, I know he obviously hasn't come through our academy or anything like that, but usually when a young defender breaks into the team, there's always that little bit of nervousness about them, certainly defensively, you know. And even if you look at someone like Trent Alexander-Arnold, who everyone says is potentially the best right-back in the world, people still have the doubts about him defensively. But Godfrey is just absolutely rock solid. He's a machine. He's one of the fastest players over 5 or 6 yards that I've seen at Everton in a long time. And he's just solid, isn't he? Even when you see those clips of him boxing and that, you wouldn't mess with him. And he's a young lad, so a bit of everything for me. And I think right now for me, choosing Everton's back four is just impossible, isn't it? Because Holgate has done nothing wrong really, except pick up a few unfortunately timed injuries. Godfrey is in boss form. Mina's in the form of his career. And now you see why we paid 25, 30 million for him. And Michael Keane, I think, is probably the most consistent centre-back in the Premier League across the league this season, and I'm, you know, one of the top five Premier Leagues and one of the top five centre backs in the Premier League for me this season. So, you know, fitting them into a back four where you've got Luca Dean at left back, obviously one of them now probably breathing down Seamus Coleman's neck to get in at right back. So interesting to see where Carlo goes with that. But yeah, very, very surprised, as Carlo said, by Ben Godfrey, but in the best possible way.
I think Carlo might have to start playing back six just to play them all. And Sam mentions there Yerry Mina, and you know, it did cross my mind, apart from a slightly chaotic 15-minute spell and start of the second half, you know, all those headers he was winning, I was thinking, isn't this nicely timed for Marcel Brands, that the second most expensive player he signed for the football club, he's actually starting to look like a £27.5 million player. But Preno, you wanted to mention Sigurdsson.
Yeah, because I got involved in just a little bit of a debate on Twitter with an Evertonian who, in the immediate aftermath of the game, was still reluctant to praise him, shall we say. You know, talked about how the goal was only a tap-in and how he went missing in the second half. You know, when we were backs to the wall and we were looking for more, you know, defensive resilience. And I thought that was really harsh, to be honest. I mean, I thought he had a really good first half. It wasn't a tap-in. It was a great bit of movement and energy and intelligence to get into that position in the first place. And I know Luca Dean will get the praise for the cross because it was a sensational cross. And so should Andre Gomez for the pre-assist, you know, that wonderful pass down the line. But it was still a really good run and tidy finish in the end. Obviously, he won't get the assist. Actually, Gilfie will get the pre-assist, but only for the second goal, because Ben Godfrey flicked it on. So, you know, he was influential with the set piece. But then I thought his general, you know, sort of breaking up play in the second half was good. And I was quite interested to hear Carlo Ancelotti single him out in the press conference afterwards, where he talked, or in the television interview afterwards, where he spoke about him and about, you know, sort of the shift he'd pull in. So I just thought it was a really good performance from him. And, you know, I know we can't indulge him by playing him as a number 10 every week, because James Rodriguez, for me, you know, is absolutely, you know, a shoo-in for that position, you know, so when he's fully fit and available, because, you know, he's just exudes so much quality. But it was just good to see, you know, so Gilfie do what he does. And clearly it underlines that Carlo does like him and does rate him. And, you know, he made him skipper for the night, you know, which speaks volumes. I think the fact that, you know, he is capable of playing in various other positions is in his favour. Number 10 is clearly his best position, and I thought he showed that on Wednesday. But I was just pleased to see a good performance from him. And he got talked up. I mean, as Gav mentioned, the commentary, they mentioned, you know, the transfer fee he'd cost, but also, you know, so how it was a good performance from him. So, you know, while Ben Godfrey will get the plaudits, while the defensive players, you know, people will talk about, and rightly so, and Dominic Calvert-Lewin back on the goal trail will get talked about, I think Gilfie deserves a bit of praise as well for that performance. I thought it was really good, really reassuring.
I think what is showing through with Sigurdsson, I think I was surprised the other day to see there was an interview just published on the club website itself of and Sigurdsson kind of admitted, you know, this is the happiest I've ever been at Everton, which I felt was quite strong in a way that, you know, he is now, he has kind of openly said that there's been times where he hasn't been too happy, and I think that's shone through in his performances and certainly maybe last season. I think the difference this season, he just seems to have lost that little bit of, I don't know whether he was kind of last season kind of a bit like, why aren't I playing in the 10? That's my position. That's where I should be. And he's lost that little bit of ego to understand his role in the team. But what I like about him is that he might have burned his bridges with some supporters and never win them back. But for me, I think that he's rolled up his sleeves and is starting to show that he can put a bit of graft in and do the dirty work, you know, as well as then popping up with those late little runs into the box to score goals, which, you know, you've got to give him credit for. And it'd be good to see him turn in, you know, five or six of those performances and do it consistently, because, you know, when he does, he's such a naturally quality footballer that he can elevate the entire team's performance.
Marcel Brands once said to me that if it was up to him, the team would be made up of 10 outfield Gilfie Sigurdssons, but he appreciates you need a bit more of a balance. Gav, Carlo said afterwards, and again, as you said, sometimes what he says in public and sometimes what he's actually thinking is different. He said Andre Gomez was the best player on the pitch.
thought Andres, well, I'd say nobody played badly, did they, on either team on Wednesday night? I thought Andres had a really good game. You know, good team to play against Leeds, if you like, aren't they? You know, they spread the game out, don't they?
Yes.
Remarkably. You know, so there's lots of space. Though they're pressed, but there's lots of space. And that Andre will, you know, he will thrive in that type of environment. And he did. I mean, it was a one. I mean, as you say, I mean, I don't want to say the word pre-assist because it's heresy, but I will mention the pre-assist. But he's been involved in quite a few of our goals in the last few weeks, hasn't he? Three or four of them, he's either assisted or been there or thereabouts, which is good. That was a great cross, great ball for Luca Dean. You know what goal that reminded me of? Carden Coffey, Jelovic is a Sunderland in the FA Cup in 2012.
Yeah, from Maggie Guy's cross, yeah.
Pulled it across from a similar position to Dean. Jelovic, identical finish to a Gilfy. I thought Gomez had a really good game, you know, and to be fair, you know what I'm like about Gomez, give him stick. I've always felt supporters tend to overrate him since he joined, not since his injury, but you know, he has shown his capability in the final third, which I always wanted him to in the last month. His problem is if he plays deeper and the opposition have got the ball, you give him the ball in the opposition half and he's got space, he can be as effective as anyone. He's too fussed, isn't he, for a start, which is not really apparent. I thought he was tremendous, as with everyone else. And he just gives us an option there, doesn't he, Gomez? It was a nice game for him and you know, well done to him. Great ball for the... not many players we've seen for Everton over the last 10 or 20 years could have done a ball like that, by the way.
Yeah.
To do, not with the vision and stuff. He was excellent. And Carl was quite right to sing him out.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on, before we look to United, sort of final 15 minutes of the pod. Preno, 36 points from 20 games. The best start to a Premier League season since 13-14 under Roberto, and of course we finished with 72. What are we aiming for this season then? Top four or top six?
It's a strange season, isn't it? You know, as Gary Lineker so pointedly told us on Wednesday night, if you're coming back from Leeds, you won't have seen it, but on Match of the Day, he said that it's the first time we've won four Premier League away games or four top flight away games in succession since 1985, when they had a half-decent striker up front. And then he smiled and goes, Graham Sharp. which was fine. But, you know, so to actually put a run together like that suggests that this side is capable of not special things, but very good things, you know, like maybe squeezing into the top four in a season that has been really, really strange like this season has been. But for that to happen, we've got to show more consistency than we have been. We can't be losing at home to Leeds, to West Ham, you know, so at Newcastle, at Southampton, you know, the kind of dodgy performances that we have been throwing in after four or five good performances. So I think, guardedly, I think top six and a place in the Europa League. I mean, it's looking like we will qualify for Europe, but we don't want to be in this new third-tier competition, the Europa
Conference.
League Conference, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It might prove to be a successful competition, but you can imagine the sneering and the, you know, so looking down your nose at that competition. You know, the Europa League is a fine competition, and yes, not a problem with qualifying for that. I think top six, that is what we'd be looking for. But I don't want to go too far ahead of ourselves. We're still in a cup competition. We've got a home draw against the Tottenham team, which is struggling at the moment. So, you know, the cup competition, if you're going to offer me Champions League, you know, top six or an FA Cup victory, I'd go FA Cup all day long. But the way things stand at the moment, I think Europa League is a very, very realistic and should be an attainable target for us.
Sam, same to you, mate. 36 points from 20 games. What should we be aiming for in the final 18 matches?
Be quite exciting, wouldn't it, to get in that new UEFA Conference League just to send you off to Azerbaijan for some qualifier.
Rizomborok was interesting enough.
I think what Preno's saying, isn't it, that I think what we've now done is with that victory against Leeds has put ourselves back into contention of the Champions League. But you've got to be realistic, haven't you, and say, considering when Marco Silva left last season, which obviously even that sounds mad, it feels like Marco Silva left now about 16 years ago. the relegation was still kind of something that people were talking. I don't think it was ever something that, you know, properly came into the thinking, but Carlo still had to kind of move us away from that talk at least. So I'm mad from going from that at the end of last season, still some, you know, terrible days, wasn't it? I think that Wolves game towards the end of last season at Molineux was one of the worst days of my life, I think, watching that. It was terrible. so to go from that to the Europa League and the performances that, you know, slowly but surely, there's still, you know, those little kind of games, West Ham, Leeds, the two Newcastles, they're sticking in people's heads, aren't they? Because you think, you know, what if we'd won them? What if we got a point there? But yeah, as Preno said, the FA Cup would be the perfect kind of meet in the middle, wouldn't it? You know, ending that trophy drought and getting back into Europe with the, you know, hitting two birds with one stone. But anything for me, Europa League, Champions League would just be total dream world, wouldn't it? I don't think you wouldn't be seeing me for a couple of weeks if we if we qualified for that. But definitely take a trophy as well. So I think fifth. I think after my nan's house move again, it was also telling me fifth.
Yeah, excellent. Gav, same to you, mate. What do you think?
I think when my nan had a house move, it was 1970. So hopefully we can I'd buy your hands off the top six, to be fair. We may, you know, let's face it, we're in the Europa League. We might be in there with Liverpool, might we? there's a good stat, by the way, going off the subject a little bit. 21st of January 2017 was the last day when Everton won away, when Liverpool lost the home.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who scored the winner for the opposition at Anfield?
I can tell you that because I saw Chris Beasley tweet it this week.
Yeah, Guilford, yeah.
Dickinson.
But, you know, seriously, top six, Phil. I said last week, or last time we spoke about it, is we're a bit imbalanced at the moment because all our hard away games are all in the second half of the season. You know, maybe traditionally don't get a result. But as we know, this season is a bit different. And has been shown with our away form, you know, we won at Leicester, Wolves, Leeds now, Spurs. And, you know, and it's shown that the likes of Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal, hopefully Man United, are all vulnerable at home with no supporters. And we do appear to be a team under Ancelotti. I think basically we outlined the rationale behind it at the start, because we are strong defensively and got options in defence. A team suited to playing away from home and the opposition come on to us. And that's why we struggled at home, I suspect, against some of the, dare I say, lesser teams. Mm. So top six I would take. No problem. But it depends on us jacking a few results out at grounds, but usually we get beat.
Yeah. Carlo, of course, said a couple of weeks ago, I'm not afraid to defend. So there'll be plenty more setups to come. Okay, Preno, we played United twice already this season and come unstuck twice, scored once and didn't look like scoring at all in the League Cup tie. How do we turn that around tomorrow?
It's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, I was heartened by the fact that it's away from home, and despite what United have just done in their last home game, they lost to Sheffield United at home in the game before that. You know, so they're inconsistent. You know, they're capable of tossing in a bad one, and we are capable of defending really, really well. And if we can produce the same level of intensity that we produced on Wednesday, and again, that worries me, are we capable of doing that only 3 days after we've just done it? And you can see, you know, the outpouring of joy and relief at the final whistle from the Everton players. You know, people fall into the floor because they put so much into it. We're going to have to do that again on Saturday night to get a result at Manchester United. Are they capable of doing that? They're capable of doing it. But United have just got so much quality, and twice already this season they've done jobs on us. I mean, that League Cup game was harrowing, really, how much they battered us. Basically, they were just like by far the better team, you know, so for a lot of that game. So we're capable of doing this, but it's going to take an absolute major, major effort to do it. And I'm hopeful, you know, but for that to happen, yeah, we've got to, you know, defend as well as we defended on Wednesday night. The players that come back in, because they will, you know, so Carlo will rotate, as he said, you know, James Rodriguez and co will have to come in and, you know, sort of show their quality. So again, it'll be an intriguing one, you know, so it should be a good game to watch, hopefully. But it's going to be tough, you know, so I wouldn't go into it, you know, massively confident. But I said that before the game on Wednesday when Sam told me we were going to win our next two games. And I said, you know who we're playing in our next two games? So, you know, he's got the first one right. Why can't he get the second one right as well? So, yeah, it's possible, but, you know, it's going to take a huge effort. I'm really looking forward to it. It should be a good game. I just hope we do ourselves justice with the quality of performance again.
And just while we're with you then, Prenno, a quick prediction. We'll kick that off now.
I've got faith in Sam, 2-1 away win. I think we're going to defend really, really well again. A little bit of flash of quality from James Rodriguez. I know I'm being a little bit silly here and my heart's ruling my head, but no, I'm going to go for it. It's a strange season, strange results, and our away form has been exceptional. So I think we're capable of doing it again, provided the referee and the VAR does their job, which they didn't do on Wednesday. I know we haven't gone into that and we won't go into it now, but that was a strange old decision, that. You know, to say they looked at it and decided they weren't going to give a penalty because it was too high up the arm. It was under the bloody T-shirt line. So, I don't know. Let's just forget about that. As long as everybody does their job on a Saturday night, including the officials, we're capable. 2-1 the Toffees.
Mm. Gav, I know you're up against it time-wise, so we'll go to you next. Yes. How do you think it's going to go and prediction? And...
I was checked this morning. When United beat Ipswich, it's 9-0. In 1995, we played them the week before and won. So I'm hoping to sort of having an adjacent fixture this time to the United 9-0, history will repeat itself. So we won 1-0 then, panel. You remember the Duncan Ferguson stuff, shirt and all that type of stuff. So I've got to go with 1-0. I think the process of the playing teams away from home. I'm really looking forward to see Ben Godfrey hopefully play centre-half against attackers with pace who'll really cause you issues, and that's a big test for him. Having been built up this week, you know, we need another good performance on Saturday. So 1-0 Everton, history repeats itself, and, you know, and onwards and upwards.
Well, yeah, before you go, Gav, have we ever played Leeds and Manchester United back-to-back like that? We have, because I can remember it, but it's going back a long, long time. Do you remember the results at the time?
Oh.
We played on Good Friday away at Newcastle and won. We played Leeds on the Saturday, the very next day, and won 2-0. And then went to Old Trafford on Easter Monday and won 2-1. Bob Latchford scored in all three games. Got to mention of him in there. So there you go. There you go. We have played Leeds. I'm on them both.
The stars are aligning, Phil, already, aren't they? Yeah. You not lose after this.
Wow, exactly. Yeah. Gav, if you need to disappear, mate, feel free and we'll carry on. But thank you for your company.
Okay, cheers.
Thanks, Gav.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye, Gav.
Cheers.
Sam, so same to you, mate. How do you see it going? How do we change the two previous results and how do we get a victory on Saturday evening?
I think what United done quite well at Goodison was that it came off the back, didn't it, of when we beat Chelsea and Arsenal, kind of playing, you know, within ourselves, defending deep and trying to get a goal, you know, on the break from set pieces, which we done pretty well around that time. But as Prenno said, I think what impressed me there was United just dominated from start to finish. And, you know, although at one point we did look like we were going to take it maybe to extra time and penalties, I don't even think Ancelotti himself, deep down, could have argued that they didn't deserve it, and a goal was always coming. There was, I think, that first 10 or 15 minutes, Phil, it could have been about 9-0, couldn't it? It was a mad one, but there's something in the water this season, and there's something in the water at Man United to go from losing to Sheffield United. They were probably going to be, well, they were looking like they were going to probably be the worst Premier League team of all time, to them winning 9-0. It just shows you don't actually know what you're going to get from them, like pretty much every team in the Premier League this season. So, as Prenno was saying, there's the scope there for it to align and for it to come good, but I think it would probably have to be more of a Brian Oviedo-style smash and grab. So I'll go for the I go for a cheeky 1-0 Josh King.
Wow. Well, off the bench, presumably, Josh King, I would take that.
Can I make it a clean sweep, Phil?
I don't see it, but I don't see he's getting beat. I think, we don't draw many games, but I think we might draw this one. Their home form, despite winning 9-0 last time, isn't great. They'll obviously, I would imagine, we will allow them to a certain extent to have most of the ball, won't we? But as Carlo said, we're comfortable defending deep, and I don't see that changing. And as you said, though, the only thing, Prenno, that concerns me is the effort that was put in on Wednesday. Can we replicate that? So fresh legs, James will come back in. Maybe we will see King, who knows? But I don't see us getting beat. I see us coming away with something, and I think a draw will be satisfactory anyway. And the momentum. Yeah, absolutely. Excellent. Gav's already disappeared. Sam, Prenno, thank you very much for your company, and thank you very much for listening. Adam Jones and I at Old Trafford Saturday night. So follow us on the Echo for all the post-match reaction, live updates, blog, analysis, you name it. Quotes from both managers as well, and obviously into Sunday too. This has been the Royal Blue Podcast.
You've been listening to the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.